Blog Talk Radio.
Now, get ready to own your career with meeting coach and master networking guru, Rod Colon, for his weekly summit for the CEO of Meet Inc. For the next 60 minutes, Rod will cover topics critical to managing your career as the CEO of Meet Inc.
Good morning. This is Rod Colon with Own Your Career from Hamden, Connecticut. I'm actually on my way to Southern Connecticut State University for a Quest conference, and that's for high school seniors that we're going to have over about 400 high school seniors at the Southern Connecticut State University, where they're going to be learning about colleges, next steps, careers, and they've invited me to speak with the students to talk about their careers. So anyway, welcome. Good morning. It's Saturday, November 9th, and looking forward to sharing another wonderful topic with you today. And you're on Blog Talk Radio, and that's online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. And happy to take your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. This week, we just made a special time change just because of the engagement that I have afterwards. So it's 8 a.m., so good morning to all. Today's theme is how to identify and leverage agency recruiters. Okay, so here we go. This is a nice, meaty topic for many. I speak with quite a few professionals, and they say to me, Rod, why would I ever use a recruiter? And I say, well, why not? This is all part of being the CEO of Me, Inc., and these are individuals who are your partners, that they can absolutely be helpful. The thing is to pick the right partners, right? So when we look at agency recruiters, there are variations, there are different styles, right? So there's consultant or contract recruiters that you're employed by them, usually on a 1099, less so as an employee. You're paid on a monthly or bi-weekly basis. And there are typically no benefits when it's a 1099. When it's an employee that you're working for the organization, certainly there may be some benefits as well. But usually it's really just the rate. Right? So those are contract recruiting. Certainly employment with them is at will. And these contracts can run anywhere from a couple of days, a couple of weeks, several months, and some contracts can go on a long-term extended basis. You have permanent placement agencies who receive a fee from the client, a percentage, anywhere from 10% on the low end, 30% on the high end of your base salary, typically not against bonus on the base salary, and they receive a fee for placing you. And these are individuals that have typically they've gone through some type of scrutiny through the organization. They're on a vendor list, both the contract as well as the full-time agencies on some type of vendor list, so they have some degree of relationship within the organization. And so these are now another alternative. And you have executive search firms. And executive search firms are on an exclusive, usually at a very senior level type of position or some technical role that is so hard to find that the organization is paid generally 33% of the total compensation for placing the individual. There's a one-third of the payment is paid up front, a third when they've delivered either two, three, four candidates, whatever is agreed upon, and the last third is then provided when the individual is placed. Okay? And usually, in most cases, that organization has a great relationship with the organization, and they are an exclusive. So we're not going to spend much time on the executive search side, Most individuals will fall in the category of permanent or contract recruiting. Certainly, if you want further information on, you're welcome to call in. Or we could do it as a theme for another program. Okay. So let's just think about why are recruiters important, kind of the top five things that you want to know about. And I know for many it's like, I hate these individuals. They don't call me back. They're like HR. It's about learning how to work with them and understanding what are their hot buttons and what's important for them. So but what do they bring to the table? They're specialists, recruitment consultants, and they know the industry. The real good ones know the industry really well. And you talk about those recruiters that have some years' experience, it can really advise you in really good ways. And for most, it's not about just the deal or the placement. It's about building a relationship because they know that potentially you in the future can either open up doors to other candidates that they'll place, that you yourself will be placed or potential client, or that you can refer them to other potential clients or candidates. So they're always, matter of fact, Keith Ferrazzi, in his book, Never Eat Alone, talks about like the top 10 networkers that you want on your team. And he lists recruiters. They're that important. They're so well connected. So the first thing is that they really know the industry well. You could actually pick their brains and just kind of get some good guidance as to what's going on in the industry. They're always very good from that standpoint. Okay. The second thing is, that their relationship with the organization, especially when you're dealing with Fortune 500 organization, they usually have a very good relationship with that company. So you want to talk about business intelligence, and as we talk about our seven-step process, and in step three, identifying advocates, and step five, which is gathering business intelligence and networking with these individuals. You may want to have a few of these individuals that you know well as far as in your LinkedIn as a level one connection. Very important. And the third thing is they really reduce the time, right? They reduce the time from you going to HR and trying to reach them directly, and if they have a great relationship, they can actually push along, the process very quick for you, especially because they are already a known entity in the organization. So, for instance, when I was working on the corporate side and I would have a difficult opening, I would usually go to one or two firms and say, look, I'm in a desperate position here. I need some help. Can you help me out in this? I'll give you, 4 or 5 days heads up before I have to give it out to the rest of the firms. And they usually would, knowing that they had that advantage, they would push hard and find me some individuals. So you really want to, and the whole goal is you want to have 5 recruiting firms on the permanent side who you know very well, that they know your industry, you're speaking at least on a regular basis, employed or unemployed. I mean, this is just information that you want to have. Then you want to have 5 individuals on the contract side. So 5 on the perm and 5 on the contract side would be probably ideal, is what I usually recommend for my clients. Okay? Another area, as far as, they're really good at the salary. Right? If you want to know what's the compensation like for your role or for a future role or for this type of area, they're going to know. They're in the trenches all the time, and they can absolutely provide you with good benchmarking on salary and compensation and bonus and benefits and, what organization has versus another. So, just simply good information. Right? And they're specialists. Specialist recruitment consultants are in constant contact with the employers. They're in the know. Great business intelligence that goes on there and there. So now, how do you work it? How do you work the details? How do you go into, as a CEO of me, and how do we best leverage these individuals? And how do we get as much information as possible from them in a way that they're not annoyed and they're not bothered and then they're following up? I mean, these things are important. That's what I want to focus on today, is how to develop and cultivate the relationship and how to best build it. So you're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon from Hamden, Connecticut, on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. That's blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. Taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. 3320. Okay, so let's begin. Why, so you typically will find an opening, or they're going to find you, right? So let's start with you found an opening, and it's coming through either a contract recruiting firm, a consulting firm, or a permanent placement full-time organization, right? So you found the opening. Let's say we're always talking about Indeed. So we found an opening, and let's say the name of the firm is ABC Inc. It's a project manager position. They don't list or indicate anything about who the company is. You take a look at the opening, and you're like, wow, this is a 70% or better match. So right now, you're step two, step three. Do I find any individuals who could be potential advocates? Well, on bottom of that job description, it says Susan Smith. Okay? So it says Susan Smith is the recruiter for ABC Inc. for a project manager role. It's fantastic. So we now have an advocate, right? We have Susan Smith. But we also have to back it up with someone else, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say Susan Smith is my primary contact, but I'm also going to look for recruiters inside ABC Inc. as well. Because Susan may have already identified her top three or four candidates, in an agency, in a recruiting firm, there's a lot of competition going on. We don't know if Susan Smith is simply a sourcing person, or are they a recruiter, or are they a top recruiter, or a junior recruiter. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So Susan herself is one potential contact. But now I go to LinkedIn, I look at level ones and level twos at ABC Inc., and I find that at level one, I have one person. Didn't realize that person worked for ABC Inc. They just recently landed there. And I have seven at level two. Okay, so now I have my list of potential advocates in case Susan does not respond. Now, I find this opening on a Saturday. On Monday morning, I'm reaching out to Susan. I'm emailing Susan as she has requested. Whatever the job description says is typically some information as to how to follow up, what should be the next step. And we're doing that. So I forward that on, and I call Susan Smith, and I indicate to Susan, I just forwarded you my resume. Please let me know what should be my next step. Now, I'll also be sharing with Susan the value proposition. And I really want to take the time to separate myself with everyone else. So I will put together a nice value proposition, copy the resume, the job description, targeted resume, and a nice cover T letter for her background. Yeah, so that's what we're going to be covering it from that standpoint. So Susan now gets it, but Susan doesn't respond. She doesn't call me back, and I'll give Susan about 48 hours. Right? She doesn't call me back. She doesn't email me back. And now I'll start reaching out to the other individuals inside ABC Inc. to find out. I've reached out to Susan. She hasn't gone back to me. I'm not sure what should be my next step. What do you think? Right? And I actually will if they're a level one or a level two, I really don't need, unless it's a strong connector, in this case, I may opt to call the other recruiters to find out who's the first one who's willing to work with me or get me some information. Usually what will happen is when I forward the value proposition to the second person or third person, they're going to walk it over internally, because this is what happens. And working on the agency side, depending on the rules of the engagement, it's really the first person to come up with the great candidate is what's presented. And sometimes an individual inside an agency may be prevented from submitting a fourth candidate. They may have a quota, three candidates, that's it, your best three. So it turns out that Susan has already submitted her three. But now another person inside the organization says, Susan, I have this really good person. What should I do? Well, take it yourself. So what you want to do is make sure that you understand how the workings are in the organization. And don't just leave it with the primary person. That's really, that's critically important. All right? So we want to kind of work it from that standpoint. So that's how I work in agency and all that. Now, let's say Susan calls me up, right? Or someone else does. Someone is going to now, and you can sense it, that they're willing to talk to me, to give me information, to engage me, and you know, tell me a little bit about yourself, right? So I, in essence, I start telling them what's on the value proposition, specifically what's on the T letter. And then from there, they're saying, great, you know, I let me get back to you. And here, you always want to say, great, when should I expect to hear something back? Lock them up. Okay? Now, at this time, you also want to find out a little bit about their organization. Okay? Because what happens is, many times, what most recruiters are accused of is they never get back to me, right? So how you secure people getting back to you is knowing a little bit more about them, knowing about who their manager is in case they're out. So I say, Susan, so let's say I'm having a conversation with Susan. I say, hey, Susan, great, thank you so much. This is my background. She goes, Rod, you know, you really have a good background here. Let me see what I can do. I say, oh, great. You know, what should I expect to hear something back? Oh, by Wednesday, fantastic. Looking forward to it. If by Wednesday I don't hear back, I'll reach out to you on Thursday. Great, confirmed. Oh, by the way, if you're out, you know, things happen, you get sick, you're out, ill, whatever. You know, who's your manager? Who do you report to? Right, that's a good one. Now here is you're going to find out. Oh, you don't need to worry about that and all. No, this is where you know what you got. He says, oh, you know, Susan says, oh, my manager is Maria Garcia. Oh, fantastic, you know, great, fantastic. So in case of anything, can I call Maria if I can't reach you? You get all that good information. Right? Lock it up. Right, because what happens is you get all excited about, wow, someone is finally speaking to me. Someone really likes my background, and you feel so excited about it that you forget the close, which is to make sure that you understand, you know, what's the next step, right? So that's how I'm working with an opening. Now, what's the difference between that type of conversation where you find an opening in a full-time firm or you find the opening that is a contracting firm? Really, it's going to be there's a lot more discussion with consulting firms around money and rate. And they usually will discuss it by an hourly basis or a professional day or a daily rate. Okay? They really don't want to waste their time. Right? So you optimally say, same thing, no difference than what we typically say is, well, you know, well, what are you budgeted for as far as a rate? And 50% they'll say, well, our budget and rate. I said, great, fantastic, and I could live with that. I could work with that. That's not a problem. If they kind of say, no, I need your rate, says, well, you know, help me out a little bit with consulting rates. I mean, this is what I was earning in the past. This is what I'm earning now. What would be a good number? Seek their advice versus giving them a hard number. Say, you know, this is what I was earning. Help me out a little bit. You know, be a little Columbo-ish here for those who remember Columbo, right? Kind of just kind of figure it out. You know, tell me a little bit more. What do you think? You know, I was earning $100,000. You know, I was having a bonus of $120,000. Won't that do it? You know, have them help you. Well, you know, that will translate to this and this, right? If you go with a humble approach with, you know, tell me a little bit more. How can you help me? You know, I'm really not sure. What should be my rate? Now, if you've been a consultant for 7 years, that's a different story. You can share a rate. But at the same time, you say, look, you know, the beauty of consulting is you do the best you can, but you understand that from time to time you're not going to make the rate that would be ideal, but, you know, that's something you live with. You know, the last thing you want is no rate, zero rate. You know, that's the rate I don't want. So just, you know, food for thought, you know, from that standpoint. Okay? When working with a full-time agency, they're going to ask you a lot, much more as far as conversations that they've had with the organization related to the soft skills, what you're looking for. You know, the high-touch type things. Those are the types of questions that typically will come out in a full-time, permanent type position versus consulting, where it's much more about your technical skills and about the rate. So those are things to work out. So this is Rod Cologne with Own Your Career on Blog Talk Radio. That's on blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. And we're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Special edition of Own Your Career a little earlier, 8 a.m. this time on Saturday, November 9th. I'll be right back.
Your future customers are searching online for your product or service right now. What will they find? Will they find you? Chatterbuzz Media is an internet marketing agency that gets you noticed online. From mobile responsive websites, to search engine optimization, to social media, to content marketing, we can help. Call Chatterbuzz Media at 321-236-BUZZ. That's 321-236-2899. Or visit us online at chatterbuzzmedia.com.
And welcome back. This is Rod Cologne with Own Your Career. Saturday morning, November 9th. On Blog Talk Radio, that's online on blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. Feel free to call in at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. If anybody's near the Hamden, Connecticut area, New Haven, Connecticut area, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., I will be at the Quest Conference, which is taking 400 high school seniors and helping them, and they've met multiple speakers on colleges and admissions and careers, and they've invited me in as a speaker to work with the students in small groups about careers. And certainly, one of the key topics I'm going to be working with them today is about managing their career business and being the CEO of me. And one of the important things is saying to them is, what's the market demand for what you want to do? I could just, and I'm going to go, excuse me? What are you talking about? I says, yeah, what's the market demand for what you want to do? What's your passion? Well, I'm interested in being a writer. Great. So what's the market demand for being a writer? What do we call that? And what are the opportunities for being a writer? And what are the types of jobs? Well, I don't know. Well, if you're the CEO of me, as a business owner, I think it's important that you know. It's also important to know that if you're going to be spending your money or your family's money or the government's money or banks, right, someone's money, in over close to $100,000 in education, wouldn't it be smart as a business owner to know the types of opportunities and what's the demand for these opportunities and what you're looking to do, right? The last thing you want to do is graduate, right, and have $60,000 of debt. And on top of that, no job. No, I don't think so. So we're going to spend some time with them today and kind of opening up their eyes as to it's not just about what you're passionate about, but as the book The Startup With You, talks about, it's about where passion and market demand intersect. That's where it's at. If you have passion for something, hey, no problem. Let's do that on the weekends or on the evenings as a volunteer or a plan B. But if you're pushing in an area that there's no market demand and you got $65,000 of debt, you want to talk about a quick, like, I can't believe what I've done in my life at 21 years old? So we want to wake up. That's where we work as young as in middle school. We want to spend as much time in getting them to think, what are you going after? Well, follow your dream. Yeah, you can follow your dream all you want. But is it going to be your primary or your secondary, right? If it's your primary and there's no revenue to sustain, especially just to pay back the debts that you have, it just doesn't make sense, unless you got a wealthy somebody in your family. But so that's what I'll be talking about and just sharing with them and just as honest as I can be. So today's theme is about, leveraging and working with agency recruiters. And the reason why I picked this one is that quite a few individuals that I coach have been saying, Rod, I just stay away from recruiters. I said, why? Why would you stay away from recruiters? They don't have some disease or virus just because they didn't call you back or just because it didn't work out or because their client is the organization, not you. Well, that's okay, but they run a wonderful business. As a business owner, it's important to have as many different options as possible. Just be realistic and know what you got, right? So we covered, what are the benefits of different styles. If you find them, right, through Indeed or through any search firm, how to work it. And that's the way that I would do it. And always find out what's the next step. Now, one of the questions that comes up on both sides, if they find you or you find them, is in your mind is you want to know who the company is, right? And they're not willing to share with you who the opening is, especially up front. And that's okay, right? Because I've had as an agency recruiter, we'll take it both ways. As a corporate recruiter, I had an individual, and this happened quite a few times, that an agency represents an individual, and then the agent, and then the individual themselves submits the resume directly. And as a company, I have an obligation to find out what's going on, what's the right thing. So when I contact the individual, he says, "Well, did you work with this firm?" He says, "Yes." "Well, why did you send it directly?" "Well, you know, I thought it would be better this way." "Well, I'm not interested in that person." You got no ethics, no morals. Next. So everybody loses. It's just everybody loses, right? So the best thing I would recommend is that when the organization, be it full-time or consultant, is now prepared to say, "You tell me, Rod, we are submitting your resume to the client," that's the point that I need to know where my paperwork is going. If they're uncomfortable with that, I'm uncomfortable with them. Now I'm going to tell them, "Look, Susan Smith is the recruiter. Susan, who is the firm? I'd like to know who the firm is that my paperwork is going." "Well, you know, Rod, I'm not at liberty to share that with you." "Really, why not?" "My paperwork is going somewhere. I'd like to know where it's going." "So no, we're not at liberty to share that." "So I understand. I appreciate that, but you know, don't send it." "Really?" "Says, yeah, don't send it." "So you have to make a call here. And it's about trust." I said, "Susan, you know, there's got to be some level of trust here. And by doing that, is you don't trust me. You don't trust that I'm going to do the right thing. You think I'm going to jeopardize the deal. Well, I'm not. I want to win as much as you do. Certainly, you're in it to place and to help your relationship, but also bottom line is for the fee. I'm in it because I want a salary. I'm in it because of the opportunity. It's in it for me as well. So we have to have a trusting relationship." My sense is here, Susan, that, you know, that trust bar right now is not that high for you, for me, right? So help me to help you to gain that trust. Okay? "Well, Rod, why do you want to know?" "Well, Susan, there's a reason why. I have a powerful network. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to get as much information as I can, protecting your interests and letting everyone know that you are representing me inside the organization, because I never want you to feel you're losing a fee or I'm going around you. But I know that when I leverage a network, we all win. Matter of fact, I'll get you all the business intelligence that you need." "Oh, well, I know the manager really well," she tells me. I said, "No, I understand that, but I want to know all the details about what goes on in the interview and the whole process, how many people they're bringing in." "Yeah, I have good context. And I know that if people know me well inside, that increases your probability of securing a fee. So what do you think, Susan?" All right, so these are things how I'm going to, you know, work that agency, you know, from that perspective. So Susan says, "Okay, Rod, you know, the firm is PSEG. Great. So now I can continue with finding my advocates inside PSEG. But Susan will take the position for HR recruiters. Typically in our, for those who have been following along the seven-step process, you look for 10 advocates, 3 in HR, and 7 who are in the business intelligence center. Well, I don't need any more in HR because I have Susan Smith who's going to represent me. And now I start finding out individuals at PSEG who work in a department, who may know of this area, who I know. You know, this is all helpful information for me. And everything I get, I share with Susan Smith so that she can use that in putting the information." Okay, so this is all, you know, this is now all when you find the opening. Now, from time to time, you're going to get a call from an agency saying they're interested in representing you. Okay? And the way I work this one is I want to find out, because right now it's always about leverage. So now what do I have to leverage? That they're interested in me. Right? So I want to ask them a few questions as well. So let's say it's change the name here. Let's say it's Ron Lopez, right? Ron Lopez is the recruiter. And Ron Lopez says, "Hi, Rob. Ron Lopez here from ABC recruiting firm and say, oh, hey, Ron, how are you? Great. You know, Ron, we picked up your profile from LinkedIn, or we saw your resume on Career Builders, or whatever, right? So, yeah, great. You know, Rod, we have an opportunity at a prestigious financial services firm for being a human resource recruiter. I said, oh, great. Says, you know, do you or someone you know, would be interested in something like this, right? And they sometimes they go after you. Sometimes they say, do you know someone, which is really you? Says, yeah, I always keep, my response is always, I always keep my eyes open to exciting opportunities. So great. So can you send me your resume, your updated resume? There's going to be some discussion now going back and forth. Right? So you can answer those questions, or you can say, hey, Ron, got a few questions before we get started on this, which I'm sure most people just don't do, and most recruiters are just not prepared for this. Which is, so I say, hey, Ron, you know, hey, thank you so much. Yeah, I absolutely would be interested. But let me ask you a few questions first. Ron, who do you work for? Right? So now I start writing this down. Who do you work for? Where are you located? Okay. Is how long, Ron, have you worked, you know, in this area, in this industry? Is this a new client or a client that you've done quite a bit of business with? How frequently does the firm make placements with this organization? How many have you made placements? Are you working directly with the hiring entity or your secondary inside the organization? I want to know where Ron's at. Great. And who's your manager? Oh, fantastic. Great. So good. I got all my information. They may not like this, but this is all the information that certainly you want to get before you start sharing your side of the story, right? Because immediately if they start saying, well, that's not a good fit, these questions you want to ask, they're not going through. No, I appreciate it. No, we're looking for this type of recruiter. No, you don't have it. No, I'm not answering any questions. Goodbye. Have a nice day. So I like to ask these, you know, these questions all up front. First, so that I know exactly what I'm looking for. You're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rob Colon from Hamden, Connecticut on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Today's theme is how to identify and leverage agency recruiters. So we're having some fun on this one. This good topic, good meaty topic. So we covered so far is the types of agencies, why are they effective, you know, if you find an opening, you know, so right now it's they found you. And I'm asking them questions. I'm asking Ron as many questions as possible. So he gives me all the details. That's great. And now he starts asking me questions and all that. And once again, we may get into the topic of money. And I'm not going to negotiate money up front. You know? Unless I'm currently employed, I'm really happy, I keep my eyes open, I'm making $150,000, and I got a bottom line barometer, which is, you know, anything less than $170,000, I'm just wasting my time. And I'd say, that's your choice. Hey, Ron, you know, right now I'm at $150,000. If this is anything less than $170,000, let's not waste our time. You can do that. Okay? But for me, as a networker, someone who's always looking to find out what's going on, get information from competition, you know, I can go on an interview, have absolutely no interest, but pick up some great business intelligence for the organization and come back with it and share that with my manager and blow them away. All right? So here, you know, I just recently went on an interview, you know, just because I have a good discussion, good, you know, as a CEO of me, I'm always sharing what's going on because I know my value, I don't fear, I'm not fretting. So again, hey, Joe, my manager's Joe, hey, Joe, you know, just recently went on an interview with this firm. Certainly wanted to pick up some good business intelligence, and this is going on. So now Joe is aware of the good business intelligence our competition is doing, but at the same time, Joe knows that there's value out there for me, right? All of this can come and play back. You know, I was giving a speech at a university in Massachusetts last month, and I was doing a professional development event, And one of the individuals said, Rod, do you have any contacts in a specific area? And I said, oh, absolutely. You know, are you serious about that? And I gave him the cards. And then his manager said, Rod, let me give him that information. So, a little stressier, sir? So he goes, no. I said, I don't want to be losing my guy. I said, good. He said, you see why it's important just to keep your eyes open? Because when management know that, one, they'll say, if you have no value, they'll say, oh, good riddance. Can't wait for him to leave. Or the other one is like, you know what? I didn't realize Rod was interested in moving on. You know, Rod has been part of the pipes and fixtures here within the organization for so many years. I never thought he would leave. You know what? I need to start reconsidering that and looking out for his interests, looking out for his compensation. You know, I just can't think of Rod as being part of the pipes. Many times, if we're not doing these types of things and not being aware, folks just forget. We just, you know, don't realize. It's, oh, Rob's going to be here forever. Oh, really? Yeah. You're a client. You're not my spouse. Right? So this is a working zone. You know, so when they find you, so always find out with them is, you know, who's the organization? What are they looking to do? What are they looking to accomplish? Tell me more about the company. And so that's how we work it. Now, how do we work the value proposition with the agencies? Hey, it's really up to them. But what I have found with my clients and working with recruiters is that this is just great information for them to have. They need to see it, right? Because what happens is when you say to them, oh, I could put a value proposition together for you, they're like, what? No, I don't need that. Just give me your resume. Because they have no idea what a value proposition is. So discuss it more in line with, if you give me, and it's speed with agencies, it's always about doing it quickly. So if you're able to get them your value proposition, the targeted resume, and the cover letter, it's really well-written cover letter, that T letter, where you really lay out the top 4 to 7 things that the client is looking for in your own words, summarizing what they're looking for, that you've put yourself in their shoes. That's powerful. And then on the right-hand side, what you've done with the results. These are the talking points that you're giving the agency to tell the HR person inside the organization. And many times with consulting firms, they bypass it's not a bypass, it's just HR is not involved with consulting placement. They're only involved in the back end, in the processing. So they're dealing directly with the hiring entity. The points on your T letter are going to be the points that they're going to be sharing. On a consistent basis, I'm speaking with individuals saying, you know, Rod, what has set me apart, 2 things, the structure and the strength of my T letter and advocates reaching on my behalf inside the organization. Those 2 things have really set it apart. Okay. Now, how do we become memorable with both permanent placement recruiters and agency recruiters is by taking interest in their business welfare, okay, and their what's in it for them. Because most individuals, I would say over 90% of the individuals will never do any of the following. And by doing this, you will be memorable. Okay? One is, as you're speaking with them, and remember, you have a network. You want to find out, so here I am working with Susan Smith, who's a consultant recruiter. Susan, you know, thank you so much. I really appreciate this. She's been very kind, very nice, very sweet. And says, Susan, are you working on other types of openings? Says, yes, Rod. As a matter of fact, right now I'm working on 30 openings. Susan, what types of candidates, what types of individuals are you looking for? After I hear her getting back on her chair after falling off her chair, she goes, what do you mean, Ron? She says, no, I have a fairly large network, and if I can share your opportunities, or at least a highlight of your opportunities with my friends, I'd love to introduce them to you. I have found that, you know, our brief conversation here is one that, you know, Susan, you set yourself apart from the other recruiters that I've spoken to in the past. And I like you. I think that's, you know, I think you're, you know, fairly good and certainly looking forward to, you know, that's a big one. And, you know, just think about it. How often have you done that with a recruiting firm? Like never, maybe, right? Try that. You'll be memorable. Another one is, Susan, are you ever involved in the client then, in opening up client accounts, those types? Really, no, you haven't thought of that? Well, if I know of other companies, you know, as I meet with them and interview and that type, and they're looking for people with these types of skills, and they could benefit from a good agency, a good recruiting firm, who should I put them in touch with at your firm? Susan may say me, or she'll say no, the manager, the boss, the head of recruitment. Great, you know, I'd love to contact with him and kind of go from there. See, now your name inside that recruiting firm is being like, look at Rod, look at this guy. He's not only is he a good candidate, but he's looking out for our welfare. He's looking out for our, you know, our livelihood. It's just nobody does that. Yeah. And this is where we talk about separating yourselves from the others, differentiating yourselves, just being different, being unique. Yeah, these are ways unique. And remember, you know, they may not place you on the first one, but they may place you on the second one or the third one, or they'll place you 2 years from now on the next go-round. Yeah. Those things are you know, very important. You're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon from Hamden, Connecticut. On Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. I'm looking forward to taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Be right back.
Your future customers are searching online for your product or service right now. What will they find? Will they find you? Chatterbuzz Media is an internet marketing agency that gets you noticed online. From mobile responsive websites, to search engine optimization, to social media, to content marketing, we can help. Call Chatterbuzz Media at 321-236-BUZZ. That's 321-236-2899. Or visit us online at chatterbuzzmedia.com.
Welcome back and good morning. This is Rod Colon with Own Your Career from Hamden, Connecticut, just a little bit north of New Haven, Connecticut, where in about an hour from now, I'll be working with about 400 high school seniors, getting them ready for college and their careers and kind of planting some nice seeds in their minds. And this is online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. We're taking your call at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Today we're talking about leveraging and working your recruiters and how to best leverage recruiters. So here it is. We're looking at the best way to make yourself memorable with agencies that they get. And the first one is looking out for their, you know, opening up opportunities for them, opening up other candidates, sharing their openings, forwarding good people their way, forwarding them to people that you know. Folks love individuals who are highly networked and leverage their network on their behalf. That's really important. So that's about being memorable. Now, let's go to the close. As far as with the recruiters, and they've identified the opportunities and back and forth, and the nice thing about the agency is that they are going to represent you through the negotiation process, which is neat. You have a third party. Many times we're doing this on our own. Here they'll be able to help you out and kind of cover as many details. Always remember that in the close, in the negotiations, there's always something being left on the table. And although you have a recruiter, sometimes you may need to speak with human resources directly. Sometimes you may need to speak with the hiring manager directly. And so you may need to work with the agency to say, you know, please set me up, especially in the closing time, when it's time to close and it's negotiations. Some recruiters may be very good at this, others may not be. This is where sometimes eye-to-eye, face-to-face conversation with the human resources and hiring manager is important, from that standpoint. So that's how you work, as far as the agencies and the recruiters. It's a lot of fun. And for many who are just concentrating on finding openings on their own, it's always nice to look at, if I have 5 good permanent placement recruiters and 5 consulting recruiters who do what I do and kind of work the areas, that just supplements the one a day that we talk about, which is great. And for those who feel reticent from working with agencies, it's probably you had some bad experience. There are agencies out there, and let's spend a little bit of time of detecting the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? There's some agencies that it's really about submitting as many candidates as possible where they have very little relationship with the company, and sure enough, they'll make enough placements to sustain themselves. But they don't care about the individual. And the recruiter or the account manager, they're only paid on placement, not on care, it's all just a different concept. And you'll find those. And they're not going to be in my, top 5 of either perm or consultants. But from time to time, I may, because they will in essence, all they're doing is submitting my resume, and I'm doing the rest of the work leveraging my network, my advocates up on the HRSN, which is fine. Ultimately, to me, it's about the opportunity. And if they make their fee, or if they're getting their $5, $10, $15 an hour because they did that, great. But it's about the opportunity that I have. Okay? And as we know, each job that we're in is just temporary. Now, it could be full-time. It could be consultant. It's always temporary. Temporary on your part and temporary on my part. It's interesting. Someone who I'm coaching just landed, and they said in their contract, in their agreement, what we always laugh about, employment at will is always the fine print. This organization put it like twice the size font bolded to say it's employment at will, and I started laughing. She picked it up, and I just started laughing, which is, that's good. They want you to know that we can let you go at any time, and you can leave at any time. And that's what employment at will is. So that's the way they're treating it, and that's the way you should treat it as well. And, they're a good client. You want to provide great service. But if there's another opportunity that comes out to you that is in your best interest and the best interest of your board of directors, your family, you have to consider it. Just like they're considering, how to reduce expense, how to minimize X. I mean, this is just part of running business. It's not personal. From that standpoint. So, these are things that we certainly want to look at. Well, let's see. Let's take a look at our mailbag this week. And in our mailbag, let's see what we have. Right. I have 4 potential connectors into an advocate. Why not send my value proposition to all my connectors and see who gets a response first? Is there a good way, and if not, how long do I wait before I use the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th? I did have someone who had 4 connectors and sent it out to all 4, and all 4 did their job and got it to the advocate, and it's like, yo, hold on a second. No, you don't want to do that. I would say of your connectors, you want to go with who do you have the best relationship with first. And so if I have 4 connectors, I'm going to rank them as to who my relationship with them is the strongest, right? So I'm going to go with the strongest relationship first, and I will then email the individual my value proposition, and I'll follow up the next day. And in that conversation, if I get them on the phone, is, how well do you know this person? And, Rod, I really don't know them that well. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I have 3 other potential connectors. Now, what's funny is they may get like, well, excuse me, right? I'm like, wow, look, you're being honest. You don't know them that well. I know some other individuals who may know them better. You know, I want to work the best relationship here. And then I'll say, you know, you want to work your level ones. You want to, you know, keep networking alive. Stay connected with them, right? So we'll laugh a little bit about that. But they'll get a, you know, we're planting a seed there to say, you know, make sure that your network is strong, sustainable. So I go to my next person, and I, you know, email them the value proposition. I follow up with a call the next day, and they said, no, it's, you know, happens to be a friend of the family or my spouse knows them or whatever. And then I said, great. You know, I'd love if you can get forward. Always get into the habit. I'd love for you to forward my value proposition to them and copy me on the notes. Okay? Most connectors don't know how to do it. They don't know what to do. Just explain to them what you want them to do. Yes, if you could take this email that I sent you, my value proposition, what makes the case as to why I'm right for this role, if you could forward that to them, you know, what you say about me, that's up to you. But if you could forward this on to them and copy me on the note, oh, that makes for a great introduction. And then I'll take it from there. You know, then I'll, you know, so that's the way, you know, that I use that from that standpoint. Right? So, well, we've come to that point again. I'd say it's another week, great information. And hopefully this has been helpful for you. I always have fun doing these things. I remember, you know, my days of working the corporate HR side as a corporate recruiter, and all the things that go on the inside, and you know how a company selects its top five, top four vendors. And you know, I worked at another organization where I was working with over 200 agency recruiters, which was just crazy. And I needed to narrow that down to about 35, of which many of the managers had great relationships with these agencies. And said, sorry, you know, we have to have an even playing field here, right? And we're just going to compete now on pricing, right? So that was fun. And then, you know, I started out, you know, when I left corporate to start my own practice, was as an agency recruiter. I was more on the behind the scenes supporting other agencies in making the placement. But I got to see quite a bit of what happens on the agency side, you know, for many years. So it's been a lot of fun, and certainly, you know, just in knowing what goes behind the scenes. But look, there are great recruiters out there. Here's a hint. If an organization has an affiliation with N as in Nancy, P as in Peter, A as in Apple, that's National Personnel Association. Right? National Personnel Association, NPA. I have, when I was on the recruiting side, I belonged to that organization, and I simply, these were the best quality organizations that I've ever met in my career. So if the organization has an NPA distinction, affiliation, you're working with a top firm. And this is a global network of recruiters, mostly on the permanent placement side and in every industry. So if you go to npaworldwide.com, and they have no idea that I'm even saying this about them, but npaworldwide.com, you will find some great organization and recruiters of high ethics, high morals, just the top, you know, there's great people in there, great recruiters. And I learned a lot from many of the business owners there. Mostly are small private practice sole proprietors, and they're just wonderful individuals. So if you're not sure, you could take a peek at them and kind of see if any of the organizations are working with you. You could find some organizations to work with, you know, through that. So with that, we'll wrap it up. And to find out more information on how to own your career, visit my website, rodcolone.com. I'd love to hear from you during the week. You can contact me at rod@rodcolone.com. I appreciate you, our listeners. We know how difficult it is to own your career. Thanks for listening in. Look forward to speaking with you next Saturday at our standard time, 9 a.m. With that, this is Rod Colone with Own Your Career. Have a great week and keep networking alive. Take care.